Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 15 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Chaos to Anarchy. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
My subtitle today is From Chaos to Anarchy, and it's still with the title of Acceleration that I introduced last week that I was bringing out of Scripture. And I want to show you prophetically even more today is how everything has accelerated. And I know everyone's looking for things to slow down, and you might find that, but you're going to have to get off this fast-moving train to find it. And if you get on the train, she's moving, and she's running fast. So still, acceleration is the prophetic word that I have for today and for us to consider. Now, one of the ways that we know that this is true, and we got this clash, keep in mind, the clash of the three kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of man, kingdom of God. We have this collision, it's colliding as we speak. And one way and one text that proves this also is knowledge shall accelerate at the time of the end. We see that in Scriptures, and you can say, well, Alan, what is the time of the end? Well, it just so happens this teaching is not on that. So that's another teaching for another day. And because the time of the end has a new beginning. So as we, knowledge shall accelerate at the time of the end. Now it's in Daniel 12:4, the last of Daniel. You know the book of Daniel pretty well. You have the whole revelation of the book of Daniel. At the end, he tells him to do something. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, here he's got this whole book of Daniel, this huge panoramic view of past, present, and future, and he ends it with a little sign here, a little signal. This is what we're looking in at Scripture for, not just at it. God does that. He'll leave you a little key hanging right there. And so the time of the end, well, that's pretty good, but how do we know when the time of the end is? Because you will know many shall run to and fro, and that's happening. You can run anywhere you want to today, as long as you got a vaccine and a mask. But it says, and knowledge shall be increased. And we know that never before has knowledge increased like it has today. You hold the whole world in your hand in your cell phone. Somebody the other day told me, said, Alan, I'm not taking the vaccine because it's got a tracer in it. I said, oh my gosh, you better throw your phone away. It's got 100. Matter of fact, it's got an app for tracers. Right? I mean, you can be tracked anywhere. If you're going to go that route, just throw your phone away and everything, go home and dig a hole. Now, I'm just being real with you. I've not been known to be sweet, but I have been known to be real. And it says, a knowledge shall increase. Unprecedented. Knowledge is increasing today. Like I said, you hold a phone in your hand, and you can pull it out. You got all the knowledge of the world. You can Google it right quick. It's a funny thing to me that the sign of the company that makes that cell phone is Apple, and they even took a bite out of it. You got somebody, I mean, you got symbols everywhere telling you what's going on. And so here it says, this knowledge shall increase. And it's like an iPhone, and it has a bite out of an apple. You say, well, Alan, that's just a coincidence or whatever. It's just not a coincidence, because the bite out of that apple is the symbol of what? The knowledge of good and evil. So I mean, come on, church, let's get with it. We are in this time of the end. So we start seeing that, and here's what happens. Now, in Amos 9:13, it says, knowledge shall increase. That means knowledge is going to speed up. Knowledge is going to accelerate. You see where acceleration's coming from. Now, once we start seeing this in Scripture, you can prophetically see what's happening. Now, Amos 9:13, now, I read this last week, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper." And then it says, "The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested." And in other words, the symbolism here is you got a plowman in the field and harvest. It's all happening together. Now, you can say, "Well, Alan, this is not good." Well, it's according to what you're planting. It's according to what you're going to put in your field. Y'all, everyone here knows the law of sowing and reaping. But God's talking about sowing and reaping accelerated. So that also means that, what if I told you that in these accelerated times, if you trust God and went with the will of God and walked in His path, that God could help you turn a 30-year mortgage into a 5-year mortgage? Anybody be for that one? Of course you would. It's accelerated. Beware lest your sins find you out. It's going to be accelerated. It is being accelerated. Everything, you are living in a time that life is moving faster than anyone before this time. Now, that's important. I'm not just trying to convince you of it. Just look around. Take a view. Take a look. So, now, chaos, I said from chaos to anarchy, chaos is a state of utter confusion, a confused mess. Now, if you can make sense out of our government and the news this day, the only thing I can tell you is you're as confused as the mess is. There is no sense in it. Everybody's hollering a different, what they think is a truth. Everybody's got their own idea, and they think that's what the truth is. That's chaos. Now, anarchy is a state of disorder due to absence of non-recognition of authority. Have you ever seen it? What's trying to be destroyed today? Any recognition of authority. Any recognition of authority is trying to be destroyed. That's what you call anarchy. So we've went from chaos, where there's just utter confusion and a mess. Within 2 months or three, I believe now we're moving into anarchy. And where total authority is trying to be destroyed. Now, this is important because God is the greatest point of authority. And all of this is aimed at Him and His Word. Every bit of it's aimed, this anarchy is aimed at God and His Word. Now, there is a time that the Lord will do a short work. Time will speed up. This is in the New Testament. Matter of fact, most people don't see it. And prophetically, you got to look in it. You got to see what God's saying. Now watch it here. It's in Romans 9:28. It's Paul. "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth." Now, just let that verse impact you a little bit. God's doing a short work upon the earth. You don't have a lot of time to get right with God. This old farmer is just telling you and making a proclamation. You can take it or leave it. You can't come to God anytime you want to. You can come to God when you're drawn by God. And understand, He's got a short string right now. Everything is moving quickly. And the Apostle Paul spoke of this time, that God's speeding there. He knew it was coming, that everything would speed up. And the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. We're living in the short work. Now, it's going to be a big work, a big harvest in all of this. But it's going to be short. Why? Because of the time of the end that we're in. Now, I'm going to share something with you here about this, how it works. The future has two paths. Y'all have heard me at the beginning of this teaching say that we as a prophetic people are not to be future tellers. That's forbidden, soothsaying. And it's forbidden in Scripture. And I gave the example of prophets everywhere saying that President Trump was going to have a second term. And then I've taken you through a teaching of, do I believe that the prophets heard from God? I do, but I think they took it too far. In other words, a prophet, and prophetically, we are to declare and say what the will of God was. And I took you through the teaching. I believe it was the will of God that Trump be president. But if, now you can say, Alan, are you for Trump or against? It hadn't anything to do with that. I just wanted to know what the will of God was. I felt like the will of God was he was to be president. But I also then took you through a teaching that the will of God doesn't always happen. Remember it? Will of God. I mean, look at the earth today. Do you think everything that's going on is the will of God? Of course not. So we have, I introduced you to this idea of the will of God and the future. And I taught you how that it is forbidden for us to tell future. Now, the reason I'm going over this a little bit is I'm going to dive a little deeper. I'm taking a chance. I'm risking it here a little bit, Pastor. But in our time's short. We got work to do. And I'm going to trust prophetically you can catch what I'm trying to teach you this morning. Now, the future, I'm going to talk about future. Are we to tell the future? No. Now, watch it. Just go with me here. But we are to speak forth the will of God. Now, let's watch it here. The path of God, which has the peace and safety of God, there's two paths. One is, I'm just going to call it the path of God. It has peace and safety in it when you walk the path of God. Then I'm going to call it the path of man. Now, this is two of the players of the three-sided conflict. So this is, I'm going to call this the path of man, which is chaos and anarchy. That's on our good day, by the way. All right, that's our good day. Now, watch this one. The battle, I have given you this slide since I began, but I'm diving deeper into it because I know you're not getting all that I'm saying. You can't get it in one teaching. You can't. But this is where I'm headed, is right. This is the goal right here. The battle is more about us finding the will of God now than it is about finding our future, for our future is in the will of God. So I said in the beginning, the battle is more about us finding the will of God than it is about finding our future. Everybody's on planet Earth, everybody's wanting to see what their future is, and I'm going to just bless Pat, I'm going to, for my future. But for our future, though, is in the will of God. So do you want to find your future, or do you want to find the will of God? You want to find the will of God because your future is in the will of God. But there's two paths. You can have a path of your will. Now, watch it. We'll take you just a little deeper. Lord, now that I am willing, what's next in finding my future in your will? The Christian faith is on an accelerated collision course with the culture around us. The values of the world do not align with the values of our faith. Are you with me? The kingdom of man and the kingdom of this world are not seeking the kingdom of God. Just make no mistake about it. They might throw the name around a little bit, but they're not seeking the kingdom of God. Now in Colossians 2:8 it says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What does he say do? Beware. Beware of something. We got to beware of something. And the word that's used here in this translation is spoil you. Through philosophy, spoil you. That means like it's enticing, bragging, making you feel greater than you really are. Here we find a warning from Paul about the world's logic and values, and that's what we're steeped in right now, is the world's logic and values. the Word of God is being taken out of this world that we're living in. That is the goal. Now, it's still here, but that's the goal. Let me ask you this. The Word of God is here. And the Word of God is in the world. But you make it real. It's a book. It's the Word of God, but you make it real. Faith is what makes it real. Did you know there's more real in this book than I've experienced? But faith makes it real. So the enemy's after the faith. And we have barely brushed the truth of what faith is. Now, let's move forward. He calls us to stand firm on a different set of values, the values of Christ. Now, let's move. Warning, warning, collision ahead, I said. Let's us dive a little deeper. All right, hold your breath. Here we go. How do we know when something we hear is worldly? How do I actually know? How do we know when something we hear is godly? How do we know when we are being led astray? All of this happens, it's very stealth. Very stealth. How do we know we are being held captive by worldly logic and teaching? Worldly values are inconsistent and will not move you to the next level with God. Now, here's what we're looking for. Number one, worldly values are very inconsistent. They're shaky at best. They are shaky. It is not a firm foundation. It's shaky at best. Here's some of them. Do what makes you happy. That's a big one today, you know. Do what makes you happy. If it doesn't make you happy, it must be wrong. If it makes you happy, it must be right. Follow whatever your thinking logic is telling you. Anybody ever have to battle that one? If you need some extra battling, I have some. I'm always battling my logic, my thinking, to reverse it back into God's Word. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what it looks like. But you know what? I got to run it through God's Word because I know my ways are not His ways. Now, we're moving on. These sound good, but the problem is they are inconsistent and cannot be trusted. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake will do what? Now, is that logical? Does that make sense? Does that challenge you? Well, I mean, as Christians, we don't mind giving up some of it. We're going to hang on just enough to make us feel safe with our own thinking. Thank you very much. This is the way we are. Say, Alan, how do you know? Because I'm one of you too. God is always constantly putting us in situations that we have to lose more of it. Now, I'm helping you with the truth that I'm leading up to here. God's always putting us all in situations. He's pressing the stew out of us. It's being accelerated. The pressure's getting harder, faster, quicker. Here, I was wanting to take off a week. I'm trying to put God, I can't find a wiggle week in my life. Have y'all not noticed? So here we go. The world says that you need to make sure you are happy no matter what. But Jesus says we should lose our lives for His sake. That means happy too. Now listen, there's a joy, a fulfillment that we gain is far greater than happy. Happy has a weight to it. It holds you down. That's right. Happy is not a spiritual term.
Preach it.
It's not a spiritual term. Because God has a greater term than happy.
That's right.
It's a joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, you might look happy when you have the joy of the Lord. I watched a video the other day. I don't know why I'm saying this. What is her name? Hagen? He had an old video, and I don't know how I got it on YouTube. I watch all these old preachers all the time. And they threw up Hagen. Was it Hagen? John? Was it Kenneth? Yeah, and he was on. I don't know how many people's in that place, 3,000 or 4,000 people in that church. And he started laughing and a little bit. And has anybody seen that video but me? I advise you not to watch it. I had to turn it off. I did. I started watching it. It looked like a bunch of idiots, I'm be honest with you. They was in, you know, this is a lot of years ago, and they had on suits and ties and dresses. And I mean, they were a mess, all 4,000 of them. It was just that worship leader, he tried to crank a song up 10 times. He couldn't get her cranked. It just wouldn't happen. I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, I had to turn it off because I'd been to Toronto and I'd got that joy thing. And I thought I had it calmed down, but I felt it cranking up again. I said, I'm coming off of this thing. Last time I did that, lightning killed me. By nature, I'm not that happy a person. So it's very hard for people like me. So it wasn't hard for me to lose happy and go with Jesus. Now, we trade all the stuff that we think makes us happy in our kingdoms for His kingdom.
That's right.
God's got some better stuff. Our own thinking is inconsistent, always changing. We fall in and out of love with any number of things. That's right. We're in love with something and we just, you know what I'm saying, we just... So, the world's happy and the world's love is inconsistent, doesn't last but so long. Happiness is a moving target from one day to the next, sometimes an hour at a time. That's what it is. Now that I've destroyed your happy. You cannot build something stable when it's constantly moving. You cannot build. The day that we're in, the end time, we got to have stability. And the stability is the Word of God. It never moves. It never shifts. I am just so embarrassed at how far I'll move off of it. And it's done stealth. It gets into my logic and into my thinking. And I'm constantly now having to go back. Now, what does the Word of God say about this? Jesus said this, you know, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, does somebody say does them? Does them, I will liken him as a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and do not hear them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Now that's a nice, everybody here knows that story. Look into it, people of God. Look into it. This is now. This is important.
Yes.
What part of you or your life is not sitting on the rock? This is not business as usual. You're not waiting any longer to see what you're going to be when you grow up.
Come on.
We're there. We're in a different era. We're in a different time. When we listen and obey Jesus' teaching, we will be standing on a firm foundation of the will of God. The will of God's the issue. But we've got to be on a firm foundation of the will of God, and it's the Word of God.
Yes.
God's calling us back. That I know y'all have heard this stuff before, but it's not in us right now like it needs to be. And it's going to have to be in us more than it's ever been, The values of the world are inconsistent and will not hold you up when things get tough in life. They will shift on you when you need stability. Now, why are the ways of the world so attractive? Why does it sound so appealing to follow my thinking and speak out whatever makes me happy? Seduction ahead. That's what I'm calling this part. The enemy's trying to seduce us into following his ways. Worldly values are seductive and enticing. That's how you know that it's of the world. It's in 2 Timothy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, I'm showing you what time it is. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And it's amazing to me of what's being preached in our pulpits in America today. It's just amazing to me how the church has totally given in and been seduced by the world. We have a pastor that stands on the Word of God, and I'm very thankful for that. And you need to pray for him that God will keep giving him revelation. Paul knew people would spend their entire lives, and watch it, searching for a truth that lined up with their lifestyle and not the will of God. I'm just so sorry. People are looking for it everywhere. Well, here's how it's masked. Well, it's just not, we're not quite getting that cultural group. A cultural group? The kingdom of God's got its own culture.
That's right. Come on.
That's right. We're not supposed to see any different in color of skin, in culture, age.
Right.
Listen, when the power of God's moving in a room, I've seen an 8-year-old come up and lay hands on a 50-year-old and them flat go out in the Spirit and they'd prophesy to them. I've seen children moving in the power of the Spirit of God that would scare you.
Come on.
I've told you, I've been in a revival where some parents came up to me and said, Alan, would you ask the Holy Spirit to release our child? I said, what? That little girl, she was going down there prophesying, praying for people. And I'm just sitting there in amazement. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Never seen nothing that real in my life. But the parents were scared. So I went down there and I said, has anybody ever called the Holy Spirit off anybody? I haven't. That was my first. And so I said, Lord, would you release your spirit? The parents are scared here, Lord. And could you release the spirit a little bit? And the little girl looked up at me, and she just quit. And I said, okay, here you are. And I said, are y'all sure that's the right thing? And of course, mother was scared to death. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't calm about it because the power of God was so hitting, so moving. Well, my point is this. When the presence of God's in a place, age makes no difference, color of skin makes no difference, your culture makes no difference. We're all one big family in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's all different. I've told you about that mean man that come up to me. He's just the biggest sourpuss you ever seen in your life. And he come up to me and he said, Alan, I just love everybody in here. Well, he hadn't loved nothing in his life. But he was in the presence of God.
Right.
Totally changed. The power, the kingdom of God. Listen, church. There's more revelation coming to us on the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are in a kingdom that's not of this world.
Right.
And we shouldn't be acting like this world.
That's right.
That's right. We're of another world. It's called the kingdom of God. It has God values, not our values. Our values are so messed up. Chaos and anarchy is not even strong enough. People will reject the truth in Scripture because it contradicts their lifestyle. We must be a people that fills our minds with the only truth we can rely on, which is the Scripture. Now, while you say, well, Alan, this is elementary, isn't it? Well, it maybe is, but I'm telling you, I'm reminding you, we are here. Somebody needs to remind everybody, all hands on deck. I don't know if everybody knows where we are or not. Say, Alan, you're being alarmist. Well, if I am, that's not a big enough word. Give me a bigger one. I'm trying to blow the horns and everything. We're in a mess.
Yeah.
But I'm of another kingdom. Thank you very much. I'm of another kingdom. If you stick around, we're going to show you something, world. That's right. John 10:10 said this, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. What the devil can't destroy, he will continually try to discredit. Now watch this. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. God will cut away and strip away. You know my teaching on the vine I gave months ago. All right, let's move. So how can I find the truth, the will of God? We must allow the Spirit to guide us into this truth. We must say no, but we must say yes. No to the value system of this world. Yes to the value system of the kingdom of our God. Now please hear me and please trust this truth. The kingdom of God, Revelation 21, that new Jerusalem is coming to planet Earth, according to the Scriptures. Now, right before it comes, God's going to turn up the revelation on what's coming. We should be and are going to get more revelation on the kingdom of God from now moving forward that's ever been poured out upon this planet. The kingdom of God. We've had terminology of the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ. We've had terminology of the bride of Christ, and we are the bride of Christ. But we're going to get the greater terminology of the kingdom of God, which includes those previous two. The kingdom of God. You are a citizen of another country. You are a citizen of another place. John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, now I want you to watch something. He will guide you. He'll do what? Yeah. Guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself by whatsoever he shall hear, but he shall speak and he will do what? Show you things to come. That looks like future to me. Anybody see it? He says, I'll show you things to come. Now, and I thought, well, Alan, I thought you said we weren't to tell the future. This is what I said. It's forbidden. We're to speak forth the will of God. But here the Scripture says plainly that he'll show you things to come. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Now we're going on some fine lines here. We're on a tightrope. You got to walk with me. Here we go. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. And that's the same verse at Scripture again. Howbeit, when he comes, he will show you things to come. Now tune in to the Holy Spirit right now. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. Going deeper into future. Future telling or future seeing?
Come on now. Good.
Future telling or future seeing? See, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Are you with me so far? All right, let's go a little further. Future telling has conclusions. Future seeing never does. Now grab that one. I'm going to show you where it is. In other words, if you tell the future on somebody, it has a conclusion. That's a form of judgment. Thank you very much. It's a form of judgment. You're judging what you're seeing.
That's good.
God has not called you to judge what you see. He'll let you see. There's a lot of things that I've seen that I don't tell. Right? Are you kind of with me now?
Yes.
You can future tell or you can future see. In other words, the prophets were seeing that it was the will of God for Trump to be another term. They were seeing it. That was the will of God. But they were telling it with a conclusion. That's future telling. You see, are you with me, somebody? So that's where it went. That's where it went south. Future tell. So you can see or you can tell. Do you want God to let you see? Amen. We're to be seers. He wants us to see. Now move with me here. For future seeing is declaring the will of God. Now, I'm going to take you. Now, here we. I'm not near done yet. I got 4 minutes to take you about 500 feet. Here we go. The future has two paths, and it's accelerating. Okay. The future, you can future tell or future see. Now, I'm taking you deeper into future see. The future has two paths. You know yourself, you can say, let's say I'm going to take somebody's on drugs or whatever. And you're sitting there talking to him. And you can see where they're headed if they don't stop. Is anybody with me?
Yeah.
Or you can see that God will let you see where they're headed. Now, you don't know the conclusion. You're assuming where they're going to die. And you'll say, well, you're going to die if you don't quit this. That's bringing conclusion. Future telling, it's off limits, somebody. You're with me? Totally off limits. The future has two paths. I'm not going to be able to do it all today, but I'm going to get you started. When we see future, it is a question at best. So just imagine, we're going down the path of life here, and there's a forks in the road. One's God's path, and the other one's man's path. But I'm seeing future. When I see future on somebody, I see two possibilities every time. One of them is the will of God, and the other one's the will of man. That's what you're seeing when you see future. I'm taking a huge chance in teaching y'all this because, okay, it ain't about me. Thank you, God. All right. Both paths have a destructive element. God's or man's, both of them have a destructive element. You got to lose your life in one, and you're going to die in the other one for sure, and it's just going to be hell on earth. Destruction on both paths are in front. But one path has an exchange, and the other one just has more of the same.
Come on.
Are you with me? Am I doing okay?
Good.
All right. The road sign on one path says my path. The other one says God's path. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be what?
Established.
How do you get established plans?
God's plans.
How do you get them? You commit your work to the Lord. That's all.
That's right.
You just commit your work to the Lord. The product is, is that, that your plans will be established. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will do what?
Stand.
The two paths, right there they are. You see them? There's the two paths. Transformation occurs as we walk the path of God into our futures. All right, I'm talking about in the future. I'm seeing there's two paths. Transformation occurs as we walk through the path of God to our future. On man's path, can you believe how today man's trying to transform himself? That's right. I am whatever I want to be this morning, right? Is this? I'm identifying with a pine tree, so today I am a pine tree. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Man's trying to transform. The enemies, what the enemy has given, dark side's given us on that wrong man's path, he's trying to transform us. He's trying to make us happy. He's trying to make us happy. What makes you happy? It's not about you being happy. Happy is seduction.
Come on.
But God has something greater than happy. I'll always put that in there so you don't hate me. Now, watch it. Our lives will be a part constructive and part destructive in nature as we die to self and let Christ live through us. It's just the way. I'm telling some truth here now. Oh, mercy. I'm going to have to stop right there. It's 10:31. Y'all going to have to come back next week, every one of you. If you're not here, I'm going to think that I made you mad. Is that manipulation?
Which has never bothered you.
Okay. Which is, preacher said, never bothered me much in the past. Are you kind of see, did you get my future thing just a little? I'll kind of go over a little bit next again. I'll bring us back up as we move forward. I want you to see what future looks like. You can see future as a prophetic people. The Holy Ghost wants you to see it. He wants you to see both paths. When you see somebody future, you'll see, when I prophesy, I see both paths. I don't prophesy the ways of man. I prophesy the ways of God. I prophesy the will of God.
Yes.
It's transformation. Now, don't let me forget where we are. We're in man's transformation versus God's transformation. The false transformation is just wide open right now. And it's running rampant. It's confusing. It's bringing chaos. You see why I say chaos to anarchy? People's minds are being confused. But the people of God should be the most sane now than we've ever been.
Come on.
The most positive now than we've ever been.
Come on.
Because we have the Word of God and the will of God at our disposal. And I'm out of breath. Would y'all stand up? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord Jesus, you know our deal. If there's anything I've said that's not right, I pray it'll fall to the ground. But Lord, if anything that I've said is of you and of your will and that is the truth of your kingdom, I pray that this truth be established in this house this day, that this will be a prophetic people that would prophesy the will of God to the earth, that we might see, oh God, I pray from satellites, they could look down on Alexander County and say there's something bright down there. We can see it now. It's the presence. There's something about it down there. There's light going on. Let it happen, oh God, and let it spread. Let it be over the earth. Anoint us this day, oh God, as we seek your will and we seek your truth, we seek your way. Give us anointed worship that would shake the very gates of hell, that the people in hell can say, we hear something up there. I hear a sound from the earth. Let it come from this place, oh God. Amen.